Mary Jo Copeland, the great, the fabulous, the amazing Mary Jo Copeland, bottom of the hour. I put too much Frank's on the steak.
The hot sauce?
Woo! That's I put a lot of hot sauce on there.
The communal hot sauce. Yes. Garra gotcha.
I should have. It should have been a small amount. I said, what the heck?
Hot sauce on a steak, really? You're better than
that. I should have brought A1 in.
You're better than that, too.
I love A1. What do you put on your steaks?
I cook my steak properly.
Well, I cooked it great.
It doesn't sound like it. Not what I heard.
I wanted to add a little panache, a little extra touch. I had
sounds like it was still mooing when you put it on the plate.
Not correct, but I may need the defibrillator in your soup. Woo!
No.
I'm not a Minnesotan, too. I like my spices. Bring it on. I got to get those Arizona. When I lived in Arizona for 4 years, I could take on almost all the spices. Like I told you one time before. So then a year later, I go back to see a bunch of friends, and we go to our authentic place where it was as spicy as can be.
Mexican, we talking, probably?
Yes. I was in the corner. And they're like, what's happened to you? You were the one to take the spices more than any of us. I go, not now. I had that Minnesota back in me.
A year of wild rice and hot dish to do that to you.
It threw me off. Okay, where do we start? Politically, let's start with the Bob Woodward book. Since Watergate, Bob Woodward has been writing about presidents, and pretty much every president hasn't liked what Bob Woodward has written about him. W seemingly might have came out the best. Obama wasn't happy. Trump gave him tons of access, thinking he could charm him. You know, Trump thinks if somebody charms him and they're kind to him, he can just do the same.
It works that way.
Right. And so the Woodward book is not just on the Don. It's on Biden, including Biden's love of the F word. He loves the F word, Joe Biden.
It's a big bleeping deal.
He likes to use it about Bibi Netanyahu. And picking up on some of our conversation we had at the end of the show yesterday, 1 year after October 7th, how Joe Biden has so little leverage on Bibi Netanyahu. And talks about that. Talks about Blinken and what they're trying to do. So it's another voluminous look, inside account, phenomenal sourcing. And we now have a combination of Trump and his communications director, who probably can just offer up what Trump's going to say no matter what. Because part of the book talks about Trump sending some COVID testing to Putin off the record in 2020, right? And then also how they stay in contact. That at minimum, they've talked 7 times since he's left office, including as recently as this year. Donald / his spokesperson did not care for that. I think I need to read this.
Yes, you do.
None of these made-up stories by Bob Woodward are true. The work of a truly demented and deranged man who suffers from a debilitating case of Trump derangement syndrome. Woodward, now we get to like something about physical appearance.
Yes, I'm counting the insults. We're up to 3 so far.
He always has to go to something's wrong with someone physically because, as we said at the start of our show, he talks about his own gorgeous body.
Yeah, crowd size, then you go to physical appearance.
Woodward is an angry little man and is clearly upset because President Trump is successfully suing him because of the unauthorized publishing recordings he made previously. Remember with the book, Woodward and Trump talked a lot.
Yes, they did.
As Trump was starting to charm him. Like, that's his M.O. He thinks he can go charm Kim Jong-un. President Xi, you name it. Continues. President Trump gave him absolutely no access for this trash book that either belongs in the bargain bin of the fiction section of a discount bookstore or used as a toilet issue. Keep counting. Woodward is a total sleazebag who has lost it mentally and he's slow, lethargic, incompetent, and overall a boring person with no personality. What'd you get to?
I think I got 14 direct insults towards Bob himself or Bob's work.
I would have guessed higher because, I mean, he finishes with a flourish.
That was nice.
When you hit the, when you land and stick your arms out.
Oh, that was Simone Biles-like.
That was Biles-esque.
Even a great vault to add the little flourish of not just the bargain bin of any bookstore. It's a discount bookstore bargain bin.
Discount bookstore, yeah. Again, total sleazebag who's lost it mentally. He's slow. He's lethargic. I think they're the same, right?
A boring person.
Incompetent. And overall, just get back to the person. A boring person with no personality. Again, it's a bit redundant, right? If you're boring, you don't have a personality. If you're slow, you're lethargic. But, man, we got to go. We got to hammer
it. Just hit them all.
God, I'm really torn who I believe. Bob Woodward or Donald Trump. It's complicated for me. It's really complicated. I cannot decide. Now let's get to his opponent. His opponent showed up for the Bill Whitaker interview. Donald did not with the Scott Pelley interview. And, again, who do I believe? Scott Pelley in 60 Minutes when they laid out at the start of the show.
Scorched earth.
Or Donald Trump and
on the cancellation.
Stephen Chang and what they're making up. But there were a number of moments that stood out to me. We already saw her comments on Netanyahu, where she refused to call him a close ally, but said Israel and the United States are close allies. I'm sure she's aware of the number of times Biden has tried to say, let's try to kill a few less thousand people while making your point. So this becomes a bit of a game because we have so much anti-Semitism out there. We have so much filth that's out there. We got people walking the streets of America yesterday with Hezbollah and Hamas flags. Really? If you're wearing a Palestinian flag, I have no problem with that. No problem because thousands of civilians have died. Hezbollah and Hamas would kill most Americans if they had the chance. So give me a break on that. So that soundbite was already out there. But here she's asked again. When she talks about her plan of, housing, child tax credit, going after, big businesses and price gouging. By the way, good luck on that one. That seems very troubling to me. And Bill Whitaker is asking, how are you going to pay for this? And she lays out everything. And then Bill Whitaker says, Madam Vice President, how are you going to pay for this? She does again. He goes, again. And then she starts going with, well, I talked to a lot of Republicans behind the scenes. And they know this is going on. This is just utter nonsense. If the Republicans, let's say she wins, and if the Republicans controlled the Senate or House, the idea that they haven't believed in some of these fiscal ideas and how, number one, I'm not sure they all agree with her concepts, but how they're going to pay for it is dramatically raising taxes, which most Republicans have been against forever. They think you stimulate the economy by giving all of us more money, including the higher end, the Harrigans. And she thinks because they've talked to her behind the scenes that this has been a strong philosophy of theirs forever, but now she's in charge and they're going to change their view? Was a terrible answer. It wasn't as bad as their immigration one, though. When Bill Whitaker, good reporter, really good reporter, says these numbers have jumped up enormously. 3-4 times higher from the final year of Donald Trump to those coming into this country illegally. Did you go too far away from the Trump administration policies? And then she cites, as you would expect, what they tried to get done with Lankford, Sinema, and Murphy. And Lankford, as conservative as any senator. And eventually, we know what happened. Yes, there are other Republicans who weren't 100% for it. There's no doubt. Because it didn't give Republicans 100% of what they wanted, but it gave them a lot. And there were no center pieces of what Democrats want. But it also would have been helpful to Joe Biden on that issue, which he's screwed up, where he's been behind from the opening tap, where the criticism towards his administration and immigration, I believe, is just and fair. And she keeps talking about, well, Bill, look what's happened since we did this. And he keeps asking her repeatedly, why didn't you put this in at the start? And she's talking Congress, and that's partially a fair answer, Dave. Because to truly get comprehensive immigration, where Democrats get some, Republicans get some, you need Congress involved. But what Biden did earlier this spring slash summer, it was an executive order, and they've had significant success in slowing down immigration. So when Whitaker's saying, why didn't you do it sooner? She has no answer. And yes, she made herself available, and Donald ran. Donald, yes, has had plenty of home team coverage on his questions, but they're about, I mean, just be, people have to be honest, and God knows I once spent a split second considering voting for the guy, but he has made himself, after events frequently the last month, okay, what do you want to ask me? And a lot of times it has nothing to do with the truth, it has nothing to do with the question, but he's made himself available. So if, and again, it's a weird bar for him, because we're so used to his utter nonsense and maybe bumping in the truth. But I am surprised that she doesn't have better answers for, okay, Republicans aren't going to go for this plan, and why didn't you put this plan in place in immigration? Because those are two really good questions, and she failed on both of them, in my opinion.
Did she fail, or is there just not a good answer?
I
think that's specifically to the immigration question. There is not a good answer.
How about this answer?
Other than, yeah, we screwed up.
How about that? How about that? That we made the mistake of going so far from Trump because we abhorred some of his family separation policies. And I know some people say parts of that happened under the Obama administration, and part of that is true. But just be honest and say, we were way behind. And yeah, we wanted Congress to pass it. They weren't. We should have had this executive order in after the first 6 months when we saw it going the other way. And on the Senate or the House and Republicans, don't tell me because what they're telling you behind the scenes.
If they are actually telling you behind the scenes.
Exactly. Exactly. Just be a little more adept, not questioning her intelligence in any way, but this is where she's not great in these interviews. Do I think there are other people within both parties who would handle these interviews better than Donald Trump and Kamala Harris? Yeah, I do. He's so bizarre. But when she's facing direct challenges, and I want to get to a little bit of the polling which came out today from the Times, which baffles me, about a change agent, and then walls on businesses supporting his ideas when I don't think they knew enough about it to push back on him. But our guy Hauser did. We'll get to that. Texts are encouraged as always. 651-461-9226. Don't forget about 15, Mary Jo Copeland here on CCO. Yeah, the hot sauce idea, just a bad idea. I tried it for the first time ever. I love hot sauce and different items. I put a little bit on my eggs today, just a little chula. I like that, but this was too much. Bad decision.
Really bad decision.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm glad you can admit it.
I made a mistake.
Unlike some people.
The steak was well prepared. I should have accepted it. Just as well-prepared steak.
If 60 Minutes had asked you about that mistake you made, what would your answer have been?
I screwed up.
Well, look at you.
I screwed
look
up.
You. You're officially unelectable. Well done.
Screwed up, and now my sinuses are as clear as they've been. So are yours.
They're whistling. They're so clear.
So New York Times national poll today has Harris up by 3. The previous one had Trump up by, what, 1 or 2? First time she's been ahead. But it's within the margin there. But again, she has a significant lead, Dave. Which candidate is more of an agent for change? She was on The View today, spoon-fed simple questions, favorable questions. And she said, she didn't disagree with anything Joe did over the last 4 years. Help me understand this. If you're going to be viewed as the agent of change and you are the vice president and you just said about the president, I wouldn't change anything he did over the last 4 years. How are you the agent of change? And I get it. They're just people are sick because Trump's been around for 9 years, those who are saying that, others love the guy. But it doesn't pass the sniff test if you're like, bless me, we're smelling in here with my excessive hot sauce, too. But if you wouldn't change a thing, and that means you're not going to change a thing going forward, and you're the agent of change, how are you answering she's more an agent of change?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think Jill Biden is running the country right now, Chad. So maybe she hasn't disagreed with Joe, but she does disagree with Jill. Maybe it's okay. Just a bad line of questioning.
Okay. Good to
Way
know.
Way to go, Bill Whitaker.
Take that, Bill Whitaker. Take that in your hot sauce. Walls was also interviewed last night. And among the other things he said, talking about his paid family medical leave program. And we had a number of Republicans on about that, remember, who weren't crazy about it. When Walls says to Whitaker that the new program was promoted by the business community, and Hauser rightfully points out the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota Business Partnership and others were adamantly against how they were paying that. We had Dave Baker on.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about have this more of the business community. Let them do their own ways of paying for this. And by the way, if you want to philosophically say this is the better way to go, I get it. You can defend it. But when Wall says the business community is behind it, they weren't.
Well, did he say they're behind it or they promoted it, Chad?
Okay. Yeah,
because they
promoted where they disagreed with it?
Look, if they're bringing it up and they're talking about it, the old adage, any news is good news, right? You're bringing it up, you're promoting it. I don't think he meant promoting it as in they like it. He just meant they're bringing it up.
Sure. Man, he's stretching or lying, whatever you want to call it. More and more by the day, man. He's got his freedom. I think he probably sees Trump and says, why not?
Yeah.
He's been president, almost was president again, might be president again. He didn't care about the truth. Why don't I just have free form on this? How about what broke out yesterday between DeSantis and Harris, where Harris was trying to reach out. Some of the folks within the DeSantis campaign or like why. Then he says later, last night and again today, I'm not talking politics. We're getting what we need from the White House. This seems political, what she's doing. And then Joe Biden says today about Ron DeSantis, he's doing a great job. And he has my own cell phone to get a hold of me. Kind of refutes what Kamala's saying, right?
A little bit.
If her boss is saying that DeSantis is doing a great job, that they've talked whenever they've needed to talk, kind of not exactly checkmark in her way of, hey, he's not responding to me.
Does she agree with Joe on this, too? This might be their first disagreement.
Sure didn't seem like it yesterday when she was going at him, right?
Mom said this might be their first disagreement now. It's finally happened.
And thank God they are talking, right?
Oh.
It's utterly ridiculous. And when Trump is just lying about FEMA still, it's just absolutely embarrassing. Do you want me to get this garbage out of here with the hot sauce?
Well, if it's clearing out your nose, that's a good thing.
Is that a shot at my nose?
No.
Yeah.
But it could have been.
It could have been.
Wish it was now.
Yeah. It's not small. That's darn correct. Mary Jo Copeland, an angel, is next. It is. It has been an honor for me to have had the opportunity to chat with Mary Jo Copeland in person and on the radio many, many times. I don't know where you start with Mary, from her private audience with Pope Francis, the Presidential Citizen Award, everything she has done with Sharon and Karen Hands, Mary's place, her devotion to helping individuals out every single day of her life. She truly is the best of the best. And Mary is here. Like all our guests, she is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Mary, yesterday, I started getting one text and another text saying, I'm hearing some concerns about Mary Jo Copeland and her health. And I was frightened and I was scared. And I went down to the newsroom and I asked them. And then my producer, Dave Harrigan, who you just chatted with, he jumped on. Where did you go? Right to the Sharon and Caring Hands website?
Right on their website. Boom, there it was.
And it said, contrary to a Facebook page report, Mary Jo Copeland is fine and healthy and is the same as ever, and I'm sure is working extraordinarily hard. So I don't know why some pathetic individual would raise your health and that you may have left us, but I'm fairly confident that the individual I'm talking to right now is with me, and her name is Mary Jo Copeland.
Well, Chad, this is the best day of my life. I got a chance to interview with you. You know, I'm on top of the world and still climbing, and some people don't understand that, but I am. And I got to tell you, I promised God I'd finish his work, and I've been here 40 years this coming May, and I think his work is nowhere near done. And so I keep going, and I've never, ever can believe someone could say something. It doesn't really matter because I'm right here.
Yes. Okay. How did this happen, Mary? Did somebody approach you and say, Mary, you should know what's going on right now? Did they tell you about this?
Yeah, yesterday the calls started coming through at the building. They were taking them across the street. I don't pay much attention to it. I've got people to help. I don't get into all that nonsense. So finally, when they told me this morning, they said, Mary, we can't stop the calls. And I said, well, I'm not dead. I don't. It just is some pathetic person that has nothing else to do, Chad.
It's gross.
I mean, I am fine, and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to keep going and taking care of the people that are broken where I'm meant to be. All this stuff goes on around my back. I pay no little attention to it. The effort is what God called me to do. Take care of the people. You're responsible for the effort, not the outcome, and move on. And well, that way, I don't take it home. A lot of brokenness, though, Chad. I've never seen anything like it. I will say that.
Well, I don't want to belabor this part of it, but it shows the love that all of us have for you, that so many people reached out to Mary's Place, to Sharon and Karen Hans, and we're concerned. So health-wise, are you 81 right now? Is that correct? Do I have that?
I'll be 81 right now. I'll be 82 in October.
Okay.
And my health, I mean, I got to tell you, my vitals are good. A little arthritis, but, I mean, that doesn't kill you.
No. No. When is your birthday, Mary? When in October?
October 23rd, I'll be 82 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And you know, Chad, I've never stopped. 40 years I'll be here in May. It's on the envelope. I've been 40 years, and I've never stopped. I won't even take a vacation. Oh, I take a little time on Friday on the weekend, but nothing else. I'm very devoted to what needs to be done in this world. And I don't pay attention to all this and that. It's my attention to what I'm called to do. And if we pushed our attention in what we're called to do, we wouldn't have so much time for other things.
Yeah, that's,
I hate to say it, but it's true.
Very well stated. Okay. On your birthday, do you have certain traditions? The family comes over, friends come over. How does this play out?
I never really make a big deal out of my birthday. I'm not going to say it. I don't. I don't make a big deal out of my birthday. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I just thank God he's given me 82 years, and we'll have a cake maybe and things like that. But I don't make I'm grateful for the years and the health God has given me. And I guess that's what I would say about my birthday, that I can stay down here every day of my life and not worry about what the world thinks and be devoted to what God's called me to do. In God's will is my peace. It should be in everybody else's peace, but my birthday is special to me that God has taken care of me all these years.
This is the amazing Mary Jo Copeland who's with us. She joins this show normally yearly. We're still going to reach out to you on Christmas time, Mary. So we still want to chat. Let's make sure that happens. When you see, and there's so many great things happening in life, and I want us to emphasize that, but when you see the other struggles in life, how do you balance that with the hard work, the dedication, and your belief in God and what you're doing?
I think, Chad, how I'm able to do that is I've had enough of my suffering in my life. I don't go on about the world doesn't have to know nothing, but from that suffering, that's made me strong, and it's made me realize how many people need hope. When people find hope, they find peace. And my greatest joy is to watch the people that come here and actually leave with a smile or actually say, you brought me hope. I mean, there's so many times that I'll sit here in a day and I'll realize that it's a joy to see people who are hurting, who have lost housing, who can't afford food, and still be able to smile and say thank you. I guess the greatest joy, that's what I say. When people, I'll say it again to the world, if people find hope, they find peace. When people find hope, they find hope. They find peace. And you can't, anybody can't acknowledge that because I watch it every day. Families coming in and they're losing housing because the rents went high and their job doesn't pay enough. I mean, and so I work little by little, one by one, and we're responsible again for the effort, not the outcome. You put your high. Everybody says they feel bad. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do something. You don't have to worry about the outcome. That's in God's hands. What we do is what our hands. What if we don't do it, then we can feel bad. We got to do something.
Can I get you to amplify that a little bit? And the Mary Jo's with us. I donate every year. I would encourage you to do it. Sharing and Caring Hands. You can find it online. There's so many different ways to help, including volunteering, donating clothes, whatever you want to do. This is an amazing organization. So when a family comes in, including maybe tomorrow, maybe it's later today,
okay.
Mary, and
all right.
And they, it let's go, it's a mom and dad and two kids, and they are
all right, okay.
facing extraordinary challenges, and they need a good meal, and they need a place to stay. And they're trying to find hope at that point. How do you try to bring that back into their life?
Well, you know, usually if I have rooms over there, which I have a couple left, not too many, I usually ask a little bit about their history. I have people running the computers and things, and I ask them. And I one thing I ask you, I hope you don't smoke because I can't stand it. Don't smoke in the room. But I mean, I ask
That's fine.
I mean, it's the truth. I can't. So if they say, no, we don't smoke, I say, well, they do a room check every day. I have some sisters from Nigeria that work with me, so they do the room checks. And I always say, you know, whatever happened in your life yesterday, don't take too much time in putting yesterday. We just have today. And I look at them and I say, I think I have a room. We run their computer, bring her over there.
Mm-hmm.
When they get over there, I sit down with them. You know, I talk with them a little bit, pray with them. And then I give them the room. But in the meantime, I talk to the kids. I give them each a couple of dollars. The kids just, they have a teen center, Chad, and the kids just love that. But the hope is coming when I said I can take you. You should see the smile on your face. I can't help the world. But there's a certain, if I have some rooms left and I feel that they can watch their children and keep the rules, mm-hmm. I just can't have people not able to manage their lives and their kids.
Right.
But, I pretty much can look at that and be able to make that decision. And then we give them a little time. The man has to work. I can't have people sitting in the building sleeping all day. So you give them a couple weeks to find a job. And a lot of times, you know, they can find some simple jobs. Maybe they left a big job, but I said, do something. And I make them save money so they learn how to budget. They save money. And it's so nice to see
them.
So
accountability is a part of this, right? It's, okay, we're going to help you, but we're also going to try to help you on what you need to get, you know, the phrase we use a lot, back on your feet and position in a better way.
Yeah, because an accountability to me, if you give people free housing, except asking to save a little bit of money, they've got to be accountable for that chance they've been given. And so we have advocates. I'm the one that does the intake, and then I send them over, and I've got advocates, you know, young college people working with these people. But if I don't see that happening after a month and a half or 2 months, then that isn't the place for them. Mm-hmm. Normally people come in, even if they work at McDonald's, it's some accountability. You know what I mean? I mean, they have to learn work ethics. And some people don't have a work ethic. They've never been brought up as kids learn what they live, Chad. And I feel bad when a family has to go, or I have to say, no, you've been smoking in the room. I'm sorry. No, we can't have that here. There's too much asthma over here. And I'm pretty strong with it. I mean, I have a compassionate heart, but I've also got enough judgment and common sense to know you can't let people walk on you.
That is 100% correct. It's such a good point that you make it. You can be compassionate. You can be empathetic. You can be loving, but you can be accountable and you can be strong. And all of those can come together. I just want to encourage people again, sharingandcaringhands.org. Amazing pictures. Here you are with the Pope. I'm looking at that picture right there. And there's a way where people can donate. They can volunteer. Now, here's another one I hear, Mary, that because you have such a fantastic location just on the edge of downtown, that there are entrepreneurs who come to you and say, we want to buy your land. We want to find a new location for you, but we want you to move so we can develop this. Would you ever move from that spot, or is it just too entrenched in what you and everybody's been doing? And also the fact that you know people will look for this location to find you if they need help.
Chad, in my lifetime, I'm not selling this place to anybody. And I had to deal with some people that wanted to buy it, and they're not going to buy it. This was God's work, and I built it. I worked every single penny has been bought as building. I don't owe nothing. I've got the money I need. I mean, with the help of the community, of course I've had the money to make a difference in the lives of others. But no,
right.
This is nothing that I would ever, and as much as they say they want to make me a nice new facility, I think it's a lot to do with wanting to control this area. Oh, yeah. It's bad enough they're building a light rail out here. It's enough to drive me crazy. If you were working over here, you'd have quit. The light rail is a mess, you know, because the construction, it's been hard. But I'm not moving myself. I'm staying right where I am. It's a beautiful facility. It's well kept up. It's clean. And it's safe. And bottom line is, this is where I'm staying until God calls me. When his work is done, he will. I'll disappear just like you will. But we're not disappearing, and I'm going to go nowhere.
No, I'm going nowhere right now. Mary,
I doubt it.
You're amazing. And this city, this state, this country and the world is better because you're here. I mean that 100%. You are.
Thank you, Chad. It's a wonderful compliment.
And you are so devoted. And I also love that you're tough, that you are kind, compassionate. But by the way, get off your butt, find a way, to get going, and you hold folks accountable, and I'm with you. No smoking. Come on, smoke somewhere else.
I can't stand on accountability. When I go over there in the morning and found out they've been there for a month and you haven't got to work, what have you done? I mean, I can't see 100 units a day, but I go over every morning for about a while. And I say, what have you done? Lay in bed and sleep? That doesn't help your kids. Doesn't give them a role model. Get up, and I'll give you 2 weeks to get a job. Oh, yeah. And I do feel sorry, but the same token, I want to feel sorry if I get that family out and somebody comes in and we'll be accountable. Oh, right. Yeah, Chad.
Because you have so many people who will show up that if somebody's going to stay, and it's not that you're mean about it, you need to make room for others and give people the opportunity to feel that love. Mary, a pleasure. The happiest of birthdays. Find just a, you know, even 5-10 minutes of the day for yourself.
I will.
To appreciate yourself. Thank you so much for coming on. And I know you're going to be around for, I'm saying, another 40, 50 years.
Thank you, Chad. Everybody's praying. I pray for my long life, 100 years, but I don't know if that's going to happen, Chad.
It's going to happen.
But I will say, maybe we could talk again over Christmas, but I got to tell you something. Everybody that supported, thanks for the community. I have to say it because it's the truth. Everybody must love what I'm doing here because I don't take government funds, and we're not going to talk about government because I've never taken any, but the money is poured in, and it continues to because I give it to the poor. I don't take anything. So that's the bottom line.
Sharingandcaringhands.org. That's how you donate. The amazing Mary Jo Copeland. You heard her right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. All right. The Twins making more news on how you can consume them next year. Yesterday, the big news was us.
That's still the big news, okay?
Yeah. Ah, trust me. For me, it is. I can assure you that. Multi-year deal, staying with WCCO Radio. Thank you. Congratulations. Now TV. We know TV. Story today that was on the docket about Bally Sports and how much money teams might lose. Well, just in the last 10 minutes or so, a release from teams and MLB combined that Major League Baseball is going to expand on how many teams they're going to produce and distribute local games for the upcoming season. Those teams include the Cleveland Guardians. Well, if you're listening online in Cleveland, good for you. Milwaukee Brewers, listening in Hudson, good for you. But more importantly, the Minnesota Twins. So this has happened before of late when MLB has stepped in for some teams. Dave St. Peter is about to have a Zoom call. I am going to text him and see if we can try to get him on, but we have two guests. I know you're saying we don't have time. I'm still going to try to squeeze him in. And I know you doubt my clock management. So,
wonder why.
This is their facts, man. Yeah. This is very good news for Twins viewers. This just is. Now,
having some reliability, is that what you're saying, is good?
How good a news? Where you can consume it?
That's the question.
How you can consume it? We don't know yet. But Bally's, you had no idea. You had Bally's and the Xfinity fiasco this year. You had the Bally's fiasco ongoing. You had this tie to Joe Pohlad citing this as the reason why they cut $30 million. Does this mean they're going to bump the payroll by $30 million? I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all. Maybe Dave St. Peter, Joe Pohlad, and the Twins will prove me wrong because we have to understand because what's happened in some other places, all of a sudden the games are on a Channel 11, a Channel 9, a Channel 5, a Channel 4, right, where it's kind of old school, traditional way you consumed. Now, would they partner with any of the other teams? Because you're going to have the Wolves and Wild wondering about the future of Bally's. So Dave St. Peter, Twins president, about to talk to local media. We may try to squeeze him in, but either way, we'll get you some of his audio early next hour on CCO.